Our second gospel lesson this morning comes to us from the Gospel of Luke, the first chapter, very familiar verses 26 through 38. Listen now to God's word for us. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a town in Galilee called Nazareth, to a virgin engaged to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And he came to her and said, "Greetings, favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was much perplexed by his words and pondered what sort of greeting this might be. The angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And now you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you will name him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give to him the throne of his ancestor David. He will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I am still a virgin?" The angel said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be holy. He will be called Son of God. And now your relative Elizabeth, in her old age, has also conceived a son, and this is the sixth month for her who was said to be barren. For nothing will be impossible with God." Then Mary said, "Here am I, the servant of the Lord. Let it be with me according to your word." Then the angel departed from her. Friends, we live not by bread alone, but by every word that comes from God. Thanks be to God. As we continue to work our way through the Bible by way of the story, our study in the Old Testament has now concluded. We're now ready to embark on the rest of the story. The Apostle Paul heralded the beginning of this new era for the people of God with these words, "When the set time had fully come." When the set time had fully come, God spoke again, but this time not through the prophets, but rather through the person of Jesus, the Messiah, the Son of God, whose birth, life, death, and resurrection changed everything. Now, strange as the timing may seem, it is appropriate that as we journey through this season of Lent, these 40 days leading up to the glorious celebration of Easter, that we have this opportunity to revisit the Christmas story, because the two events are inextricably linked. We cannot have one without the other, yet in an ordinary year, they may seem to be light years apart. Scripture tells us, when the set time had fully come, when it had come, the ancient promises of the prophets, the promises that had been anticipated for so many years, the promise of a new servant king, the promise of the kingdom of God on earth, these promises came to pass. The fulfillment of God's promises was to be expected, of course, because God does not go back on the divine word, but how they came to pass was extraordinary. We know from the story that everything they had been taught, from everything they had been taught, God's people were expecting a king. For many, that meant a conquering hero. It meant a military leader who would serve them and save them from the foibles of the world. Wednesday night, Patrick introduced you to Alexander the Great. Perhaps he was the model for the kind of king that they were looking for. And the king finally arrived. But instead of an heroic king surrounded by a horde of attendants entering the world with pomp and with circumstance, a baby was born. A seemingly ordinary baby was born to a seemingly ordinary couple in a very ordinary stable surrounded by ordinary livestock. Like many of you, we have a small collection of nativity sets in our family. And each year when we bring them out and dust them off and display them, we're reminded that through these simple figures representing the key players surrounding the birth of this baby, that God chose to become human. Emmanuel, God with us. God with us, the personification of God's gracious, compassionate, unfailing love and dedication to the restoration of broken relationships, broke into this earthly world through the birth of a baby to a young woman and her betrothed on their way to pay their taxes to their government. I consider Mary to be ordinarily sacred. I mean, really, who could have been more ordinary than this simple, unassuming peasant woman from nowhere in Nazareth? But as would be revealed, it was her very ordinariness that proved to be a perfect foil for the extraordinary work of the Holy Spirit in her life. Mary's quiet, unremarkable day-to-day life became sacred when she found favor with God by bringing God's salvation into the world in the person of Jesus. The title of our chapter in the story this week is The Birth of a King. God's people were waiting. They were waiting for the Messiah, modeled perhaps, if not after Alexander the Great, perhaps after the best of the myriad of kings who had ruled over Israel. They were waiting for the Anointed One, a man obvious in his leadership role. And now we know what many of them came to know and to believe, that Jesus did not arrive as a conquering hero. Jesus, the very God incarnate, was a real, live, ordinary, crying, cooing, sleeping, eating, wedding baby. And just as with all babies, we can imagine that this baby's greatest need in that moment after birth was to be held. To be held in human arms, to be touched by human hands, to be soothed by human words of love and reassurance. The ordinary became sacred. Emmanuel, God with us. It strikes me that at Christmas, it is not difficult to cradle Christ in our own lives, to wrap our arms around our faith, if you will. The carols, the familiar scripture, many of the adornments that are in our homes and in our church compel us toward a reaffirmation of that faith. But what about the rest of the year? What about now, in the season of Lent? In times such as these, when there is so much hatred and division across the world, Can the ordinary in our lives become sacred in some way or another? There's a timeless story that actually comes out of World War II, but I believe it could have happened in Afghanistan or Syria or Iraq, even here in the United States, and it goes like this. A soldier in London was concluding his sentry duty on a Christmas morning. We're going to call him Harry. Harry was a church-going guy, and so in honor of his mother, he went looking with a bunch of his buddies for a church on that Christmas morning, a place to worship on that very special day. They soon came upon an old gray stone building, and over the door it said, Queen Anne's Orphanage. Well, they looked around and there was no church in sight, so they decided to knock and to see what kind of celebration might be taking place inside. And soon a matron came to the door and explained that the children were war orphans whose parents had been killed in the bombings. The soldiers went inside just as the children were tumbling out of their beds. And as you might expect, there was no Christmas tree in the corner. There were no presents to be had. So the soldiers began moving around the room, wishing the children a Merry Christmas, and making as gifts whatever they had in their pockets. A stick of gum, a lifesaver, a pencil, a nickel, a dime, a good luck charm. Harry's attention was soon drawn to a little fella over in the corner who was by himself. And he approached that little boy and he said, "Hey there, what do you want for Christmas?" And the little boy looked up with big eyes and said, "Will you hold me?" Harry picked up the little boy, of course, nestled him in his arms and held him close. And in that moment, the ordinary became sacred. God with us. Emmanuel means that God does not hold us, does not keep us at arm's distance. With open arms, God is with us no matter the circumstances. No matter those circumstances, Emmanuel brings the sacred into our ordinary. The New Testament begins with the story of the birth of a king, but a king as the world had never experienced. Into the ordinary, the sacred arrived. From him and through him, we are empowered to claim our faith and live lives grounded in that faith. Namely, that God entered the world to save humankind from our own sinfulness, entered not on a grand stallion, not wearing a crown, not brandishing a shield or sword. Instead, God chose to be with us through the birth, life, death and resurrection of a man born of an ordinary woman. Into that dark night, the mystery and miracle of the incarnation became the light shining in our darkness, became the sacred presence of the Almighty God in all of human history. In the season of Lent, our attention is directed toward the last days and the passion of Jesus, our Lord. The light that broke through the darkness of the world at the birth of a baby is the same light that will shine ever so brightly when we celebrate his resurrection on Easter Sunday. Now, traditionally, during the season of Lent, the faithful make a sacrifice. individual decisions, of course, and the Protestants were pretty late coming into this tradition. But to make a sacrifice, to give up something that is important to me, or perhaps give up a habit that is not so helpful to me. You know the drill. This morning I would like to suggest that during this season of Lent, we might go in a different direction. I'd like to suggest that we have the opportunity to reflect on what difference Emmanuel makes in our lives and how we can share that difference with others. Like Harry, are we called to reach out with open arms and hands extended to strangers, to those who are in need, to those we know are hurting or broken? In what ways might we be called to hold God's people close? I believe it's worth considering and starting right now. In the silence of the next few moments, it will be one full minute. Do not be scared of silence. In one full minute, with your hearts and with your minds, see if you can identify one way that you might feel called to demonstrate the sacred presence of God in the ordinary life of another person. 1 minute. What difference does Emmanuel make in your life, and how can you share that with another? 1 minute. Teach us, O God, to find your sacred presence in the beauty of simplicity, to find richness in plain living, to find self-worth in self-giving, that we may then become an extension of your presence in this world. As we now look beyond the cradle to the miracle of the empty cross, enable us to find in our ordinary lives what we need to be truly prepared for the day of our Lord's coming. Our Lord, who came not as a mighty king, but as a child, born in a cowshed, and who gave his life as a servant for our salvation. Convict our hearts, O God, with the truth of your promise as it comes to us through your written and incarnate word. Amen. We have heard God's word read and proclaimed this day. Now I invite you to add your voice to the voices of the generations as you stand as able, and let us say together what we believe using the ancient Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints.